Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Godzilla.
1998.
Yep. It's our big anniversary show.
Yeah, so why not do Godzilla?
Yeah. I want to say something right off the bat.
Okay.
Not only did I not hate this movie, but I found myself enjoying it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I would.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird.
I remember when I first saw it, I didn't hate it. But I hadn't, at that time, Godzilla movies were still just a thing that I kind of enjoyed as a kid. And they weren't really part of my life. Especially not how they've been these last 3 years.
3 years, yeah.
For sure.
I don't know what I thought in my head this movie, what I thought of this movie that made me think I disliked it for the last 20 years. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I wanted to mention this is our last episode, Mighty Joe Young, came out the same year as this.
Yeah.
And there couldn't be any other two movies that are more different than these two. These two movies are so different. And you brought up the fact that Mighty Joe Young was more of a kid's movie, which makes totally more sense now, you know, after seeing this compared to that.
Sure.
But just the way it's shot.
Yeah.
The effects, which is the one, I think, bummer of this movie.
Yeah.
They don't hold up.
It's interesting because having seen Mighty Joe Young from the same year, and I don't know, but I guess it's just contextually, it's like they're dealing with a bigger monster here than they are in Joe. But
Joe was a practical suit,
right?
And yeah, Godzilla's almost 100% CG. There's some close-up shots of the head, and I've seen behind-the-scenes photos of a giant Godzilla head, almost full-size. And we get a couple of close-up shots, but for the most part, it's a CG character. And it just, I don't know what it is. I watched it in 4K, but it just doesn't... I remember it looking real. When I saw it on the big screen, I remember it looking amazing. But I don't know. I don't know what. Just back then, I don't know. That's just the best CG we had at the time, and that's.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, just what we've seen has. We've gotten more sophisticated in being able to see things when we see CGI. I don't know. I think it at the time it was probably it looked realer than it does now. I mean, there's a lot of shots of just his foot.
Right.
And it's you know how they do this thing where they'll say I don't remember what two dinosaurs they use, but they'll say something like T-Rex, the time the T-Rex existed is closer to us than the time the T-Rex existed with Stegosaurus or some other dinosaur. I don't know what the analogy is, but they say that. And in a way, this kind of, there's a certain feeling of where it's almost like the sense of the special effects in Godzilla 98 feels closer to the special effects of Ghostbusters than it does to the special effects of a modern kaiju movie in some ways.
Yeah. Like a King of the Monsters or something.
There's just something in where it feels like it's, for me, I think it's almost like the coloring not quite being right.
Right. Like the lighting.
Yeah, you feel they didn't quite place him in the scene the way they should have. Listen, they do stuff, and I think, although both Godzilla 98 and Maya Jo Young are, you know, they're two different companies. They did, ILM did kind of like do the final, I think, work on both of them. And there's stuff that's really great in the CGI Godzilla. Mm-hmm. Like there's the full body shot coming up out of when it comes up out of the ground. It's raining. You don't quite get to see, you don't see water hitting him.
Right. But he has a wetness to him.
They do a thing where he breaks the light, like the light's coming in from the side, mm-hmm. and the way it illuminates the rain coming down around him, that's pretty good. But there's a certain almost like a hint of bluishness on his whole self. Same thing, yeah. like when it's on his legs, that kind of feel like he's just kind of a mat on top of the thing.
Right.
And it just doesn't quite sell as good. I don't know why. Like I looked up the budgets of both, and because I was like, okay. Is this done cheaper? Because there was a whole thing about how like he was that Roland Emmerich said that he can make this movie cheaper. That's part of like how he got the job for this mm-hmm. Movie. I have my reasons for not liking it. Right. It's definitely it's not made out of love.
Right.
It's like Roland Emmerich was not into Godzilla movies. Mm-hmm. And it is clear.
Yeah.
If this movie was not called Godzilla, I would like it a lot more.
Right. And that's how I feel. Because it doesn't... It's what's funny about it is, okay, so they made this movie. A lot of the nerds call this character Gino. Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
So it's Godzilla in name only. What's funny about this is Toho in Final Wars brought this character into that movie and said like, oh, the Americans think that's Godzilla, but it's not.
And oh, so, right. No. And they referred to it as American Godzilla. I think they said that happens in GMK. Where they talk about Godzilla attacking New York.
That's right. In
And that's a reference to this.
Yes. And in Final Wars, this character shows up and they name him Zilla.
Yeah.
Because we call it Godzilla, they call it Gojira. So the name for this creature in the Tohoverse is just Zilla.
Yeah. That's good. That's not bad. I'm like, I like that kind of exists that way, but I do feel this also is like, this was like Toho being like, okay, you can play with our monster, and then they made this movie and they're like, all right, you don't get to do this anymore,
right?
Until we, you know, obviously it came back around, but
yeah,
it definitely felt like that for sure. It's like, nah, you missed the point, kind of thing,
right?
Yeah,
I was thinking the same thing.
There's an exchange I had with Becky later that I'll bring it up when we get to that part, I guess. But okay. Yeah. It's
like, I remember the marketing around this. I remember loving the teaser trailers, which are clips from this movie. I think there's one teaser trailer that's not in the movie, and that's the kids doing the tour of
the museum.
The museum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the foot comes in and steps on the T-Rex bones.
I love it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of meta in this.
Right.
There's so much meta. Actually, speaking of that, like the teaser trailer like that, the teaser trailer that references, so referencing Jurassic Park, right?
Right.
Is great. I like that. And I liked how later in the movie Armageddon, they reference this movie.
Right. They have the pug running into all the Godzilla toys.
Yeah, he attacks the Godzilla twice.
That's right, because both of those came out at the same time.
Close, yeah.
I found myself, since for the longest time, this was the only American version of Godzilla, and since then we've had two more.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of easier to dismiss this movie as a Godzilla movie. And I felt like, yeah, if it, like later on, there's a clip of, it came from beneath the sea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if this was that movie, it would be perfect because
totally
it's got like a kind of a generic monster. It's just a giant iguana. And if they just didn't call it Godzilla or say the name Godzilla, I would have loved it. Like, it would have been great.
Yeah.
So it's awkward. And you kind of get used to it as the movie goes on. Like, they don't say Godzilla too much. But at the end, they start saying Godzilla again. I'm like, it's just not right. So if there could be, if there's some version out there where the name is dubbed out and they just called it something else, like Gigantus, yeah, the fire monster.
So we're watching the movie, and this, I'm going to cut to a part closer to the end, yeah, but it's when he's got the taxi in his mouth.
Yeah.
And,
which I thought was great.
And Matthew Broderick reaches a live wire, power line.
Yeah.
Wet. Cause it's rainy mm-hmm. with his bare hands, and he holds it. He grabs it. Okay, fine. But he then sticks it against, Godzilla's gums.
His gum line. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what, makes him, basically drop the car. Becky says to be, he's got sensitive gums. And I was like, what, you think you can handle your teeth getting electrocuted? And she's like, no, but I'm not Godzilla. And it set me up perfectly to be like, neither is he.
Yes. And he's a she, or is it still a he? Because it said they were pregnant.
Still a he. It's a new thing.
Yeah.
It's a new thing. So
I the problems I remember, the things that stick out to me in this movie that I associate with this movie are Mayor Ebert and his and Gene. His campaign manager always stuck out to me, and it's like, it's so
meta.
It's him retaliating for sure.
This is like, this reminds me of, It's totally him like trying to take a jab. This was when I was on Becker, there was, an episode where, on Becker, I just played a guy basically. I was just like, I was a friend of Alex Desire's character from childhood.
Okay.
And Alex Desire played a blind newsstand donor that's connected to the diner. And in one episode, and we got a lot of bad reviews on Entertainment Weekly. Mm-hmm. So there's a part where, an episode where pornography accidentally gets sent to the newsstand. Okay. And I opened it up and I was like, oh, whoa, when did we start carrying this garbage? And he says, what? We always carry it to Entertainment Weekly. That was this little little inside jab back.
That's funny.
Same, it's kind of felt like that.
The opening titles I really liked. They almost reminded me of the Monarch opening titles.
Where
it's kind of like these flashbacks of stock footage and stuff and how Godzilla was created. Liked it. David Arnold's score, I really like. It's not traditional Godzilla, but I'm a big fan of David Arnold's work. His first score he did was with Roland Emmerich for Stargate, which is one of my favorites.
I think Stargate is one of the movies that Siskel and Ebert panned. That's why he did what he did.
Well, I think up until this point, he did Universal Soldier, Stargate, and then Independence Day. So I'm assuming Siskel and Ebert had nothing good to say about those three movies.
Have you ever seen this movie that's called Reptilian?
Sounds familiar.
When I look 2001.
Oh no, then I don't.
I haven't seen it either, but like it's one of these movies that when I'm searching for stuff on Godzilla 98, Reptilian would pop up. And it's definitely it looked like they were definitely trying to market off of Godzilla 98.
Okay.
Because there's like, you know, it's like the way the Godzilla 98, whatever you call it, the artwork is essentially it's like a foot, right? It's like a big foot with
I'm looking at it now.
It's like a big foot in between two buildings.
Right.
And Reptilian is just a big head in between two buildings.
Right.
With a close enough kind of font, I feel.
Yeah, like black lettering with the glowing background.
Yeah.
And the tagline is bigger, badder, meaner.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because the tagline of Godzilla was like, size does matter.
Wait, is Reptilian related to Yongeri?
No, you lost me.
There's a movie called Yongeri. Yongeri. And it looks like it's an older movie. I want to say it was on Mystery Science Theater. Or Pulgasari might have been the one. But it looks like this is like a new version of that Reptilian. Because they didn't in 1999 or whatever, they didn't want to call it Yongeri 2. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, anyways, it was like I was curious just because it's so
blatant. It's blatant.
It looks very it's almost like it's like one step away from the
Transmorphers.
Like those when they would do the Disney movies, they'd be like, oh, here's our own Aladdin, only the genie's red in ours.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like Reptilian also goes by Reptile 2001, maybe.
Oh.
Cool. Hmm.
Nick Totopoulos.
Oh, it's a Korean movie.
Yeah, Yongeri was Korean. We'll have to look into it.
Consider it.
Well, yeah. And we'll get to that at the end of the episode. Because I think we're going to announce that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's our anniversary show. We're going to talk about, our upcoming.
Where we're going.
Yeah. Nick Totopoulos. The name Totopoulos is based on the production designer who did Stargate and Independence
Day. He's the guy who designed this Godzilla.
Correct.
Oh, do you know one of the influences of the look of this Godzilla's face?
An iguana?
Yeah, but you know what else?
Gene Shalit.
Okay, there's a very... any particular features of this gorilla? Any particular features of this Godzilla? First of all, speaking of the fact that the guy on the boat, he calls him Gojira, even though in a world where Gojira doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, they make it sound like an ancient.
They make it like it's a mythical creature. Because at first I was going, how does he call him Gojira? Like he's able to put together. He was kind of like a whale gorilla.
Yeah.
Like was that his thing? Okay, so
can I say something about that real quick? Because here's my problem is that. The army, when Nick Totopoulos shows up and they're looking at the monitors, he's watching the scene where John Renault is holding the lighter and the guy's saying Gojira. And then later, nobody knows who John Renault is. So how did they get that footage? I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. Go ahead. Patrick Totopoulos. Oh, his design.
Oh, yeah. So this particular Godzilla's head Any features that stand out to you?
He's got scars on his face. He's got big yellow eyes.
Okay.
And like a round, sort of a round circle, like kind of like an iguana on his cheeks. Is it Aaron Neville?
No, but it's like he's got a very pronounced chin. Like his bottom jaw is very, you know how it like protrudes?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? He's very Shere Khan.
Oh.
From the Jungle Book.
Okay.
Yeah, you should look at that side by side. It's definitely got the Shere Khan chin, the old animated Jungle Book. No.
I see that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like Shere Khan. I always liked that design. I don't hate the design.
No, I think
it's just not Godzilla.
The whole premise, yeah, it's like they show a bunch of Komodo dragons and iguanas, and then they show a nuclear bomb, and then this guy happens.
Yeah, he's kind of got like a fit, sort of a humanoid-shaped body. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because Godzilla's always like bottom heavy. And this dude's like slick. Like sleek and
yeah. They said, again, so it's like Roland Emmerich was like going, no, forget all the old Godzillas. In fact, there are like Godzilla designs in between this movie and like the last movie. Like there's, if you Google, you can find like Rick Baker made a Godzilla design and stuff. And like, all kinds of stuff. But yeah, it's very much like Roland Emmerich was like going, listen, the one thing I want is that this guy is fast.
Right.
And that was basically it.
But the thing I liked about that is that this Godzilla was able to dodge things.
Yeah.
Which kind of made it more fun as far as like the movie goes, not like more fun than like regular Godzilla, but it made
was the fact that he was hard to kill. Yeah.
Yeah. And that like,
and smart.
Right. Right. Because the majority of the destruction was done by the military, which was kind of a running gag.
Yeah, like he would kind of like dodge a couple of torpedoes and then send them against each other. Yeah.
Or like they would dodge the missiles from the helicopters and it would hit the Chrysler building. Like,
yeah. So one thing is that I was like watching all the destruction and I was like, this Godzilla... it's less kaiju movie and more, which was a very popular thing at the time, were all the disaster movies in this time period.
Right.
There were so many movies where you got to see so many like famous landmarks just get destroyed. And that's basically what happens in this movie.
What's great about this movie though, is like Madison Square Garden and the Chrysler building and like the Flatiron building were all models. They're all miniatures.
Yeah.
Which was nice. Because, I mean, that's more than we get in some of the later Toho movies. And, like, where, like, we've complained before about Godzilla's just behind the real buildings and you don't see the destruction. So it was kind of nice to see some model helicopters get destroyed and some model planes and tanks.
Yeah. All that helicopter stuff, like dodging through the buildings and being chased by the helicopters and stuff was good. I liked how he tore through buildings as he went through. I liked how I liked when the MetLife building had just a big Kool-Aid man hole in it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was fun. That felt very like, oh, that like if Roland Emmerich didn't hate Godzilla so much, I'd feel like that was like a tribute to like Mechagodzilla walking through the building.
Right. Right. But it, yeah. Like, if there's any way we can just get the name Godzilla out of this movie and just call it something else, it would be great. One of the things that's tough about this movie is, well, first of all, like, I always love like a monster movie where like the whole start of it is they don't know what's happening and they're trying to figure out. And like, so he says, oh, where's the samples? Where's the samples? And he's like, you're standing in it. And it pulls back and he's standing in the foot, like the footprint.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Awesome. It's like this, it's like a slow build, kind of like Rodan did like the best version of that, this mystery.
That's cool little ranch, that footprint.
Yeah.
It was there for a long time. I don't know if it's still there, but, Yeah, actually, I have a picture. I have a picture standing in that footprint.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's like we'd sit like at in like or like when we'd be shooting on Lost, we'd go there. I'd always go and visit that footprint.
I mean, of course, why not? I would. It was what's funny is like so there's only really you're only dealing with Godzilla. There's no like Mothra or anything else like that. So you got to set up the mystery and then you have to set up the military fighting and stuff, but it leaves you with what are you going to do for your third act and your finale, which I was always against. Like I was always like, oh, this is just Jurassic Park, like with the baby Godzillas. But for some reason, since I knew it was coming, I just enjoyed it this time around for some
Okay.
reason, and I don't
Sure.
know why. It was kind of fun. Like there's nothing better than like watching the Godzillas coming around the corner and sliding on the gumballs and footballs and
Yeah,
stuff.
that stuff's fun.
Like
Yeah, that's fun.
anytime you have like a herd of kaiju and they kind of like are bumping into each other trying to get, out of the way of one of another, and they're pushing other guys aside, like, oh, let me get there first, or they slip and stumble and stuff. Like, I like all that kind of stuff, and
Yeah.
it didn't look the greatest, but there was also some definite like animatronic puppet little Godzillas too, which was
Yeah.
fun. But yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, if they made a sequel, I mean, they would have to stick another monster in, but what would you do? Would you do Mothra? I mean, and what would Mothra look like? Like a giant fly? Like it just like I don't know. This movie's weird.
Yeah, I don't. I can't imagine the sequel for this movie.
Yeah. Is he the so is Godzilla the good guy?
In this?
Yeah. Are we
And humans the bad guy?
Well, the thing is, like, Godzilla's here just to lay eggs and to get food. And, like, he doesn't go on a rampage. He just kind of, like, there's stuff in his way. And then
Yeah.
the people lure him out and just start destroying buildings.
So it's like we've met the enemy and they is us.
Yeah, like, towards the end when Matthew Broderick comes face to face with like the dying Godzilla, like I felt bad. But I don't know if that's just me being me and always rooting for the monsters, or if the movie's trying to tell me that the monster isn't the bad guy. Are we the monsters?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I can just say I'm rooting for Godzilla. And I'm surprised that Mayor Ebert didn't get stepped on at some point.
Yeah, there's yeah.
Like there's probably a scene that they shot but left out where like Mayor Ebert gets stepped on and like under the out from under the foot you see like a thumb, like his thumb sticking out from under the foot.
Yeah, or like there's that part where like you think Hank Azaria gets stepped on and then you realize, "Oh no, I was just right in between the toes."
Oh, Hank Azaria, that was
Yeah.
great. His
Oh,
reaction is
by
great.
the way, this it seems like they cast it out of The Simpsons
Yeah, him and Harry Shearer.
and Nancy Cartwright.
She's in it?
Yeah, she's like Harry Shearer's secretary or assistant.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
So I have this Godzilla 98 toy that I'm actually holding right
You
now.
do?
Yeah, it must have come from like a Taco Bell or something. And I realized the button on his chest still works. And his mouth glows red.
Oh, it's just a light?
Yeah. And
I thought it was gonna make noise.
no, it just is a little
Oh, you
light.
know what? The Screonk isn't bad.
No, it's like an updated
There's,
version.
yeah, it, but it has the two-tone thing that it goes there. It
Yeah.
like the hee-haw thing of it, and I
Yeah.
thought that at least they did that. That was
Yeah,
good.
they shied away from the fire breath.
Yeah, I wrote instead of fire breath, he just has breath.
Right.
It was a little unclear. It was like some kind of fumey breath, like flammable breath. And it seemed like he would always kind of blow it over. Like, I was like, is he just blowing it over something that's on fire and it's catching fire? Or is he able to ignite it? It was not quite
I thought clear. It was just like exploding cars and his breath blew the flames towards. But I don't know if it's igniting it.
No, I think his whatever his breath is, it's flammable. It's kind of like it's his. Yeah, it's his farting on a candle thing.
Yeah, I feel like they were obviously afraid to go that far. Like, that was the line they didn't want to cross, was doing the fire breath.
Yeah.
Which I think makes the Gareth Edwards one, that moment in that movie, so much more exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Because up until that point, you thought, oh, they weren't going to go and do that. They were going to cross
right,
that line.
Right, because this is definitely like the X-Men, when X-Men was coming out and they were like going, we're not going to do the colorful outfits. Everyone's going to have black leather on.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool X-Men, not nerd X-Men. We're going to make things cool. And this is, you know, only what, 2 years difference between the two of them. So yeah, this is
right
in that same kind of mindset.
Right. And it's, yeah. So I mean, if he had fire breath, it'd be cool. Cause if he'd be fast and have fire breath, but that's another thing is like, since he doesn't have the fire breath, that's one less Godzilla thing. I think the only Godzilla thing is the roar
size
and the fact that he has spikes on his back, which are different, but
Godzilla? Yeah.
So just make it a different guy. Because I don't hate the design. It's just not... I don't like it as Godzilla. Just kind of a bummer.
It's so funny. Like there's like... you can buy... Like sometimes when I'm looking at Godzilla toys, there's like a set of Godzilla toys, which is like a whole bunch of... Like all the Godzillas, including him.
Right.
But it's like it kind of all Godzillas too. And it's so funny how... His design sticks out like a sore thumb. Like everything else looks like a Godzilla with just a different paint job. And then there's him.
Right. Yeah. I'm looking at the toy.
Yeah. Lots of stuff that's like, okay, that's Jaws. That's, you know, like the fisherman.
Yeah.
Is reminiscent of Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
When the guy says, we're going to need bigger guns. Very, very on the nose Jaws.
Yeah. I was a big fan of like when he first arrives and all the like taxis and cars are like kind of hopping up in the air with each footprint or with each footstep.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. They had a whole bunch. Bunch of that.
Yeah. And then like good panic. I think the panic was good. And then I liked that the boats got stuck to his back.
Yeah. I
don't know how much
dropping boats.
Yeah.
He was dropping boats all over the place. Like, oh, another boat got shook loose. That was pretty funny. Like, that would have been a cool, like, you know, it's like the way when the first iteration of Shin Godzilla, when he's going through and he goes into, like, the thing. It's like, it'd be great if there was boats being shook off. Yeah. I thought that was funny. You know, there's, like, one of the things I think in the trivia it said about there's, like, guy who's, like, listening to headphones. He's got headphones on in the fish market.
Right.
On the trivia, they said that they didn't tell that guy that they were rolling. And then they just started rolling and they just started shooting at him with paintballs or something that startled him and jarred him. Because he was like sitting there reading the paper and got scared to get a real reaction. That was what the story was.
Just tell him to act scared. Just torture the guy. I had something in my head. Oh, so we've talked about it like in Varin and in the Monster X Returns, how the military has like a strategy board and they have a toy model of the monster.
Yeah.
There was kind of a version of that in this on the computer monitors where they were trying to lure Godzilla in with a big pile of fish, and on the computer monitor there's just a big picture of a fish on the thing. It's like a big blue fish, and
that cracked me up. Yeah,
so they can track where he is in relation to that pile of fish. but it's literally like a cutout blue fish.
Crap. Yeah, there's like stuff where they just had this big pile of fish and cut to Matthew Broderick going like, "That's a lot of fish."
Yeah.
And I was like, was that a joke? Was that what? It just was kind of like very state in the obvious, just kind of like, you know what? Nice. There's certain things that I go, like same thing, all the Frenchness of it, of the French spies.
Oh, they hate coffee, American coffee.
Oh, it's like, oh, no, this is French roast. Yeah. He pulls out a donut. He stares at the donut. He goes, no croissant? It's like, it was kind of thing. Although I do like the chewing gum bit.
Yes.
That they all put gum in their mouth because it makes them look more American. And they have that moment where they're like, I didn't ask you. And then he looks at the other guy and he's chewing gum. He goes, all right, go ahead.
And then he says, I haven't heard a word from you. And he does an Elvis impression, which I was kind of thought was funny.
Yeah.
I think my favorite line is Hank Azaria. They're in Madison Square Garden, and they pull into the locker room. And Hank Azaria goes, oh, my God, this is where the Knicks change. And it made me laugh. I thought that was a good one. The jokes are pretty cheesy, but
pretty bad. Yeah, and when they're in the mouth, Hank Azaria is like going, he's like, oh, what the heck? We're in his mouth. You're going the wrong way. I mean, there's a lot that goes in deep. It's like yeah. they're like full throat.
Yeah, you can see that throat out the back window. It's pretty good. I liked it. I really enjoyed this movie. I don't know what it was. They cracked me up when Godzilla was chasing the helicopters, and one of the helicopters guy says, "I can't shake him." And I'm like, "Dude, just fly up! stop turning around alleys. Just fly up."
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that rain of fire with the helicopters against dragons. Oh yeah, but watching all those, you know, that I was going, "Oh, that's kind of like that rain of fire movie." I wonder, yeah.
I've seen it a couple times. I like it. It's not as helicopters versus dragons as you want it to be.
Oh, it isn't?
No.
But another – go ahead. But what?
Finish. I was going to say, but it could be something. I mean, it might be enjoyable. I will tell you one – there's one scene. So, I mean, are you going to watch Rain of Fire anytime soon? Probably not. There's one scene where this takes place – yeah, this takes place after the world has been destroyed by dragons. And okay. So they're all hiding out in bunkers and stuff, and that's how they live. They hide in bunkers and try to survive. There's one point where it's – what's his name? Christian Bale.
Matthew McConaughey? Okay.
Christian Bale. He's like teaches these school kids to do – like put on a performance, like a play for all the parents. But it's Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
And it's awesome because it's these little kids dressed in like very crude, like a Darth Vader outfit, where he's just like wearing black, like, I don't know, pieces of tire or something. And it's they're like doing a little kid's play, but it's Star Wars. It's very, that's very cool. Funny.
So it's in the near future?
I think it's like if the Earth were to end now, and then in okay. like 40 years... there's someone that still remembered Star Wars. And so they kind of wrote out a play of the basic gist of, like, I think it was a scene between Luke and Vader in Cloud City.
So Christian Bale had never seen Star Wars?
Or he did. Like, it was, no. He did see Star Wars because the dragons first appear when Christian Bale's a kid. So okay. It's like probably like 30 or maybe 20 years in gotcha. The future, so... Star Wars did exist. And this was done whenever that movie was done. It was like probably like before the prequels. So Star Wars was already kind of a long memory. So gotcha. Yeah, it's a world where dragons are real and there was no prequels. So not a bad trade off. I don't have a lot of notes. I think I covered everything that I like to cover. Baby Godzilla's I enjoyed a lot more this time. Of course, there's still one egg left. Got to set up that sequel.
Classic.
Yeah. I like Matthew Broderick. I like John Renault a lot.
It was cool. I like the shot when they pan over and you see, man, Godzilla laid a ton of eggs.
Oh, where, yeah, you see the full
Madison Square Garden. So many.
And then later on when they're going to do the live news broadcast and then Hank Azaria pans the camera down, he's like, hey, you might want to see this. And they're just, they've all hatched and they're just crawling all over.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, get him. Yeah. They're like, put us on live. I'm not going to put you on live. They show them and they.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a bittersweet ending because they kill Godzilla and then everybody's cheering.
Yeah.
And then Matthew Broderick's just kind of like standing there staring at it like, yeah, it's kind of a bummer. It's that I definitely am usually on the side of the monster. And
right.
Felt bad for this weird Godzilla creature.
It was interesting. I was like the novelty of seeing him attack New York versus Tokyo was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it lacks something in spirit.
Yeah, I did like that it takes place in New York, but like outside. Like it felt like the whole movie was like out in the streets of New York. You didn't like, like even the base camps were set up like in a park just outside of the city.
Yeah.
So like you were kind of like in there the whole time. It wasn't like it didn't cut away to Washington, D.C. It was more on the scale of of the city. Like we didn't see the president or anything. We just dealt with the mayor. Weirdly pre 9/11, it felt like some of the imagery would have been like post 9/11. So it's kind of eerie to watch that stuff. Like the panic and the reaction. And I don't know if it was a jab, but Harry Shearer on the news broadcast says that both the Disney store and the Warner Brothers store were looted.
Mm.
So I don't know if that's something that
it probably was.
Yeah.
Same thing was like the same thing with the Ebert and Gene thing.
Yeah.
They're like his slogan for his reelection campaign was something like thumbs up New York or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Gene gives after him... Gene quits, he gives him the thumbs down.
Right. It's too jokey to be in a movie that's otherwise trying to be somewhat serious. There's like, they either needed to go full crazy or less crazy, but it was like a weird.
There's a part early on where, it's like the fact that Hank Azaria's character is known as Animal.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh boy. There's actually a part where early on, where it's like Mo Sizlak kind of slips out of Hank Azaria's mouth for a second. Because he's kind of doing this kind of character, but there's one part that gets Mo comes out really strongly.
Yeah. I liked him. I liked him in it. I was fine with it. It's a goofy movie, but I definitely didn't hate it as much as I thought I remember hating it. It's not like, I don't love it like as much as when we rewatched Peter Jackson's King Kong, where I was just like, oh my God.
No.
Yeah, it's not no, like yeah, it's not like no, but
yeah. Well, the difference between someone who loved the original stuff and someone who, was trying to ignore its existence is clear. And in that sense, like I go, I think I like this Godzilla less than I liked it when I first saw it, just because of that. Where you kind of like now, I feel. I've just been exposed to so many more Godzillas and so many more just kind of the tone and the messages that the Godzillas have that I go like, all right, so this is where that misses the mark. But if it was anything else, like if it was just like, you know, Reptile Takes Manhattan or something.
Right.
It would be better.
Yeah. Right. What do you want to do next? You want to talk about next episode or do you want to talk about announcement?
Let's go ahead. Go into the announcement.
All right. We have an announcement. We are going to do this show pretty much the way it's been going every other week, you know, that schedule for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1 year from now, we're going to do our final episode, and we've set up a list of what we want to cover, and we want to make sure we get the good ones.
Yeah.
Once we kind of lock that down,
we started running out, and we're going, okay.
Yeah,
we're coming close to what we might need an end date here.
We don't want to stall. We don't want to. We keep stalling on like Godzilla movies that we don't want to just blow through and then just end up with like garbage. So the plan is, I think once we actually lock down what episode's going to happen during what date, I think I might go in and number them on the kaiju list. So you'll be able to see everything that's coming down the pipeline. If there's something that you feel like we should absolutely see that isn't on that list, then maybe we can look into doing that.
Or suggest it now.
Yeah.
We make the list. Because, I mean, just the fact that we've been doing this for 3 years now, and how there's so many kaiju or tokusatsu kind of movies that we had no idea existed
right
before, that just suddenly just because you're in that world of, you know, searching and finding, and when you search for one movie you get introduced to another movie. So if there's stuff out there that you think don't end the show before you've seen this,
right,
let us know for sure.
Yeah. And then as far as the show goes, I mean, we're going to get, I think, what is it this time next year? Like episode 104 or something. It's going to be somewhere around there. I don't think that's going to be the end of the show. It's going to be the end of it how we know it now, with the every other week getting a release date. If something new comes out, if they do like a kaiju movie down the road, like a brand new one in theaters, or something comes up that's definitely up our alley, we can just do like bonus episodes from that point on. Cause if they come out with like Shin Godzilla 2, we're definitely going to go see it, and we're definitely going to want to talk about it. So,
right.
Yeah. We're not going to just like let it like completely like fizzle out. Or if something comes up, if we're just like, hey, I'm in the mood to chat about something, you feel like watching Tremors. You know, like, I haven't seen it. Sure. But just as far as the every other week episodes, we're going to make it a nice self-contained chunk. And then from the future, from that point on, it's going to be sort of.
Yeah. It'd be loose. Something to keep an eye on the feed for. Yeah. Especially if you know something that's coming out in theaters or something like that.
Right.
But
right. Excited.
Yeah,
because this means over the course of the next year, the list is going to be, it's going to be like the creme de la creme of awesome kaiju movies, and then
Daimajin
3
and
Mothra 3,
Mothra. Yeah.
So
we'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's stuff that we know we have to get to that we have no idea.
Yeah.
But Oh, by the way, still on Godzilla 98. The other on TV cameo was that scene with Barney in it.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah, there's Barney's in it. Yeah.
I get it, because he's a dinosaur.
Yeah, yep, that's the thing. That's the joke. Yeah, so let us know if we should see Reptile 2001.
Yeah, or not. But yeah, who knows if there's like another Frankenstein Conquers the World out there. A movie that's just like completely like took us by surprise.
Yeah.
So if there's something like that, let us know. Let's talk about our next episode. I don't know. This is a newer movie, and we're gonna watch it. And I don't know if I'm gonna pronounce it right. Rigo, I believe, is the name of the movie. It's from 2019.
Maybe Rego?
Rego, R-E-I-G-O, from 2019. So that's going to be the next one. Look for that. Hopefully we can get that up over at kaijupod.com, or we'll definitely have links where you'll be able to see it. And you'll also be able to check out our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Yeah, that's it. Till next time, I'm gonna stay as far away from this pile of fish as I can. I'm gonna head to Jersey. That's a lot of fish.
Until next time, I am gonna go to the museum and look at some dinosaur skeletons and hope a Bigfoot doesn't come crashing down.
Well, if it's the movie, you'll be safe.
I know.
I'm gonna go get a slice of New York pizza. Forget about it.